What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Trust the Podcast on Sikkim365.com. I'm Craig Smoke, Sikkim365 radio host and also team reporter, joined as always by Grayson Grunhafer, Sikkim365 team and recruiting reporter, also director of broadcasting. And Grayson, how are we doing this week?
Doing good. Just excited to kind of get back on the podcast. I know y'all have had an extremely busy week, so it's been fun to watch Sikkim365 radio get going, and recruiting has taken off a little bit. Another new commit, and of course, just a lot of, you know, kind of variables going on with this class right now as Baylor kind of tries to finish out the 2020 class and recruit the 2021 class. So that's been a lot of fun to cover. So it's been good, and just kind of trying to take it a day at a time as, you know, the virus stuff continues. And we don't know how long it's going to continue for. So just trying to get into, I guess, a established rhythm, I would say.
Yeah, it's hard to have too much of a rhythm in comparison to the rhythm that we were all accustomed to. But yeah, this is, I guess, like the fourth week in a row where discussing the different circumstances that we now live under, but there's at least, I get the feeling of like just some optimism this week as opposed to maybe the last couple times that we've talked about it. At least I feel more of that. I know we're not anywhere close to done right now, or that there's, you know, an end date in sight, but it does at least feel like we're potentially moving closer to that, keeping in mind that we can't all let our guard down and just go back to normal, because then we'll just have to start all over again. But it does feel like there's some optimism. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I don't know that we see an end in sight, but I think we see kind of the effects that social distancing is having. I think, you know, I know the next couple weeks, at least in the San Antonio area, they're thinking that the numbers are going to go up quite a bit, but that's just from, you know, when you got it, you know, a week ago or whatever, when we weren't practicing it as strictly. But I think we are going to see some good results moving forward, as long as people just continue to push through and do the social distancing thing. And I think that's what gives people optimism right now. At least it is for me, that I feel like we're all kind of in this together, trying to make this go away at least the best that we can.
You know, there's no vaccine in sight for the time being, and there's nothing but just kind of what we're doing right now in the future as best we can see right now. But you know, we'll eventually get there, but it's certainly strange times. And now it's kind of gone on long enough, Grace, and it's almost becoming like normal in a way, if that makes sense. Not that it feels all that normal still being stuck at home or having to be way more careful about everything you touch or anything like that, but it's our new reality, as I've said kind of a few times whenever discussing this. So here we are, like week three or four now, but still knocking the podcast out each week. And there is some Baylor athletics news to get to this week, and we'll also, as it's been kind of a trend going on around the sports world, has been, you know, for people to look for topics to talk about or things to talk about. Well, for us, next week on the radio show, we're going to be talking about the all-decade team for Baylor football, and I know that you've already settled on your all-decade team, so we're going to have yours on the episode today, and then on Sikkim 365 radio next week, we will touch on it as well with my votes, as well as Smokey's and Paul's, but we are going to get to yours on the show today. But first, let's start off with the big news from over the weekend. Kim Mulkey is officially in the Basketball Hall of Fame after a long wait, much longer than most people would like to have seen her have to wait to get into the Hall of Fame. She does, in fact, go in a pretty incredible class she's a part of as well, with Rudy Tomjanovich and Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan. It's a really good group, and she had quite the celebration on Saturday with the, you know, what is it, the quarantine in place or the stay-at-home orders in place. People still managed to swing by her house and just drive down the street as she stood outside, and I thought that was a really cool way for Baylor fans to still congratulate her, since they couldn't do it the way they probably would have done it if things were our old normal. But Kim Mulkey's a Hall of Famer. She was obviously over the moon, and she did join us on our debut edition of Sikkim 365 Radio. So, Grayson, what do you think of Kim Mulkey finally getting the call?
Yeah, I really liked her segment on y'all's, you know, on the show this week. I was listening to that one, and it was really, you know, she's always very honest in everything that she says. She doesn't really sugarcoat anything. So I felt like it was really cool to just hear her kind of open up and talk about, you know, the Hall of Fame and just kind of what it means to her. And like you said, the support that she got. And, you know, honestly, I know she waited a little while, but she's in a great class, like you mentioned. I mean, to be alongside Kobe, Timmy, and KG, I mean, that is so cool. That those are three of the best in, you know, our era. And so really, really cool to see that, and great for her. She deserves it. She's been great. She was great as a player, and now, of course, she's been absolutely dominant as a head coach. And you just kind of feel for her because she had another opportunity to be a number one overall, not number one overall seed, but number one seed in the NCAA tournament, and didn't get a shot to go compete for another championship. But I have a feeling they'll be back next year. So I think it's not just the beginning for her, but I think she's just kind of hitting her maybe another stride, another gear.
Yeah, you know, they very well could have added national championship number four this year. And wouldn't have surprised anybody if they had been able to pull that off. You know, obviously, though, there's teams like South Carolina and Oregon and many others that feel like they could have added national championship number one, number, you know, whatever. But while that's unfortunate, if there was, you know, a prize at the end of the rainbow, it was that she did get this honor. You know, even though they couldn't be playing right now or having wrapped up their season this past week, she did get that call, and so that's awesome for her. That's a you know, even though she said on our show that it wasn't something she was waiting on, it definitely felt like something that her family and her supporters were definitely waiting on. And I'm sure there's part of her, and maybe not, but I would think that there's at least part of her, or at least for those around her, that just can breathe a sigh of relief and put this behind them now. That is it going to happen? Why has it not happened yet? Now it's happened, and so you can kind of just, you know, take a deep breath and put that in the, you know, put that in the past, or, you know, put that behind you. Although you do have a celebration that will be upcoming in the future, unsure of how exactly they will pull that off given our current circumstances. But the full class: Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Tamika Catchings, Barbara Stevens, and Kim, as well as Rudy Tomjanovich and Eddie Sutton, who she was very excited to see go in, as were a lot of people who felt like, you talk about overdue, if Kim Mulkey was overdue, then Eddie Sutton was like overdue, but he gets in as well. So, yeah, that is a really solid class. The NBA guys, you know, will get the big headline, the marquee or whatever, but, man, the rest of the class, even if maybe not as well known as the NBA All-Stars, are pretty salty in their own right. So I look forward to seeing the 2020 class go in, and very happy for Kim Mulkey.
Yeah, very happy for her. And you mentioned Eddie Sutton. Thank goodness he got in this class, because he's been waiting way too long. I know he was one of the guys that throughout the college basketball season, it felt like everyone was talking about how Eddie Sutton needs to be in the Hall of Fame. It's ridiculous that he's not. So very happy to see him get in. And, you know, I just want to mention, you know, Kim Mulkey, you go through some of the things that she's done. And obviously this year she got that 600th career victory, and she's the fastest ever to do that, man or woman. And that's pretty insane when you think about the fact that, you know, Gino Auriemma is in the same sport as her. And he's a guy that I feel like everyone would look at and be like, oh, he's the fastest to any milestone ever in basketball. There's no way anyone is close to him. And then you look up and Kim Mulkey beat him to 600. Now, will she beat him to the other numbers? We don't know the answer to that yet, but I think that that was quite the achievement. And I also looked at a couple other things. I didn't realize she had been National Coach of the Year 8 times. Which is really fantastic, because, you know, a lot of times voters get fatigued on voting on the same coach. So to get it 8 times is quite the accomplishment for her.
Yeah, and the first person, male or female, to win a national championship, player, assistant coach, and head coach. to do all three of those. I mean, just to experience that success in one of those avenues, but to do it really every way that you can do it, other than, I mean, at this point, being like team owner, she's done it every other way. So that's really impressive. I mean, so much of her resume is impressive, and now it's obviously impressive enough for the Hall of Fame. So very cool to see the three-time national champ Kim Mulkey get her nod into the Hall of Fame. And I did see where one of the ESPN analysts, and now her name's escaping me. At least I think she is an ESPN analyst, and I tweeted this out. Ann Drysdale, that's who it was. She said earlier this week, upon learning that Kim was going to be going into the Hall of Fame, that she was going to still be working behind the scenes and talking to people about getting Kim in as a player as well. So her honors are not done. There's still people working to get her even more, but the big one people have been waiting on is now hers. So that is pretty cool. And it was very cool, Grayson, to see. And I mentioned it, but the people driving down her street as she stood outside, not really knowing what was going on initially. And then there's her daughter and the lead car and her grandbaby. And then just a whole hall of people honking their horns and having homemade signs out the windows. That was a really cool thing. And as she said, and I think it was one of the TV interviews, like, this is why she's at Baylor. And it's why she loves this place and whatever. It's really cool to see that kind of support. Although we know the kind of support she gets, it was just a little bit cooler because of why they were celebrating on Saturday.
Definitely, definitely. Great achievement for her and much deserved. And she deserves all, you know, the applause and all the credit. So hopefully, you know, when everything does clear up, they'll have a ceremony of some kind for her so people can go out and enjoy that moment. She can enjoy that moment with, you know, a bunch of Baylor fans as well.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure whenever that next Lady Bears home game is, there will be quite the celebration and, you know, commemorative this or that or commemorative face mask or something like that, you know, Hall of Fame face mask or whatever they want to get creative with. But yeah, no doubt, whenever she does take the court again with her team, there will certainly be a big party in store. But that was a few days ago, and obviously a good way to kind of wrap up the weekend. But outside of that, you know, the news, not as fast and furious as maybe has been maybe the one or two last shows that we've done. Still plenty to talk about, though. And one of the things that we'll be talking about next week on Sikkim 365 Radio, which launched on Monday, and we've had quite the guest list over our first three shows so far, and we got show four later on today and have a bunch more good guests that are going to be coming up. But Grayson, one of the things that we're going to talk about on the show next week, Paul Smokey and I, is the Baylor football all-decade team, and we've all been working on this. I know that I went and looked at some old stats and was looking at, you know, this and that, trying to kind of maybe separate guys who in my mind were too close to call initially. But you have completed yours from top to bottom, your Baylor football all-decade team. So what do you think about letting us know kind of what you thought and where you landed on Baylor football and their all-decade squad, if you could pick it?
Yeah, so just to kind of preface this, my team. A lot of what I did was based on not just how I thought they were in college, but also, you know, the actual accomplishments that they had while in college. So I did take into account accolades. And, you know, I know a lot of people just go, oh, I think this guy's better than him, so therefore, you know, I'm going to go with this other guy, or this guy did well in the NFL. I'm not really looking at it like that. I'm looking at it as, what did they do at Baylor? And what kind of accolades did they get because of how good they did, you know, for whatever stretch of time? So, I mean, quarterback, I think anyone who does this list is probably going to be in agreement.
Onis Solomon.
Yeah, I was thinking him or Zach Smith. No, but RG3. I mean, Heisman winner. I don't think there's going to be much debate on this one. I know Petty has the two Big 12 championships, but RG3 really got the train rolling and really turned this program around, along with, obviously, you know, the coaching staff and other players. But he was the player that really turned things around for Baylor. So as far as impact and kind of what he did for Baylor, and then the fact that he won Heisman, plus he has the best stats of any of them, he gets the nod there. Would you agree?
Yeah, there's not even a debate. There's not even a debate. You know, Bryce Petty would be the next closest. Seth Russell would be right there. And by the way, RG3, Bryce Petty have already joined us on Sikkim 365 Radio. Seth Russell, by the time some people hear this, will have joined the show as well. So definitely check out those interviews via every platform imaginable, basically. I mean, Twitter, Periscope, the website, Facebook. You can find us wherever, but RG3 is the answer. Bryce would be number, or Bryce and Nick would be the number twos, and Bryce probably be number two. I mean, two Big 12 titles. It's hard to kind of beat that, but you can when you win the Heisman, and you can when you kind of set the whole thing in motion, and that's exactly what Robert did. So yeah, that's the easiest answer I think of all of them.
Yeah, I think that one. There's a couple others that I'm like, that's easy, but that one really stood out to me. At running back, this is one where you have to look at it. There's a few ways you can look at it. I think a lot of people might look at it as who's Baylor's all-time leading rusher and immediately go with Shaq Linwood. I, however, am not. I think that Lake Seastrunk was the most talented running back Baylor has had. Dude averaged 7.5 yards per carry on 289 carries. So he's just an absolute beast. I think that he completely changed the dynamic of the 2012 team. And then in 2013, you know, he was phenomenal when he was healthy. He was absolutely phenomenal. So I looked at this one based on, you know, he had 2,000 yard seasons, 7.5 yards per carry. I just think he was more dynamic, and so I went with him at running back. I think there could be some debate there, but I think he's the guy. He gets my nod.
Yeah, he was the flashiest, right? And I think that flash, that speed is what people remember. I mean, the numbers are there too in many ways. I don't want to say that he's just like speed. That was not the case. But you know what? I don't want to reveal everybody that I'm going to vote for because I still have a couple of spots to decide on before we talk about it on the radio show next week. But I am more partial to Shaq Linwood. I know that he wasn't as dynamic, but my gosh, man, like the Thursday night Oklahoma game, his performance, he had a big game that night, right?
When
that
huge.
Lake was hurt. Is that,
yeah, Lake, remembering correctly? Lake was hurt. And I think Shaq had like 30 something carries. He had a dynamic game. Yeah. It was his coming out party.
Yeah, like 100-something yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, I remember that game vividly. I just couldn't remember who was hurt, but yeah, it was Lake. And you know what? I think of the TCU game, even though that was the offensive line, the 61-58, putting, you know, the offense on their back and just saying, hey, we're going to go down and score. I mean, that was Shaq Linwood carry, Shaq Linwood carry, Shaq Linwood carry, 10, 12, 11 yards late in that game. Moving the football on the ground, when you're actually looking at the clock, it was like so amazing to watch that. Now that was an entire offensive effort, especially up front. But you know, I think a shock in that game as well, and him just ripping off some tough physical runs. And there's a lot more. Those are just kind of two nights that stick out in particular. But you know, I think Shock was just so consistent. He definitely wasn't as flashy, but man, he would put the hammer down and he would get the job done at 1,200 plus yards. His sophomore year, 1,300 plus yards his junior year. And then, you know, 2016, Grayson, he ended up with 751 yards, but only 2 touchdowns. And we know how that season just kind of fell apart for everyone. So it sort of ended on a sour note, but he had come off 2 really good years prior to that. He had over 2,500 yards and 26 touchdowns in the 14 and 15 seasons. And I know they were putting up huge numbers during those years, but yeah, to me, Shaq was just steady and consistent and tailed off a bit at the end for reasons that had really nothing to do with on the field. So I'm kind of partial to him, but I definitely understand anybody who says Lake Seastrunk, like you did, or even those who want to say, you know, Terrence Gannaway, or they want to say this guy or that guy. But yeah, I'm kind of leaning Shaq Linwood as I stand right now.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that. My issue with Shaq was 5.9 yards per carry He was more of a grinder, which is great, and they needed that. They needed someone that could stay healthy. I just went the other way just because, I mean, 7.5 yards per carry is just crazy. So I went with Lake Seastrunk there. At receiver, I only had issue with my third receiver spot. The first two for me are probably going to be the same as most. Corey Coleman, Kendall Wright, very easy options based on their accolades and what they did. My third receiver, though, I did go with Terrence Williams, and this is one of those where I went, dude had 1,800 yards and was a unanimous All-American. He's the third receiver, in my opinion. Plus, he had some decent years with RG3 as well. But that 2012 year, when that team really was not great for a lot of that year, he was a consistent force. I mean, just the game he had against West Virginia that year, where he had like 300 yards receiving. I mean, he was phenomenal. So I went with him. The guy that got left out, unfortunately for me, was Denzel Mims.
Yeah, that's the one that I'll reveal next week on the radio show, but it'll be only the third wide receiver, and it'll be a battle between those two, and perhaps others will get consideration as well. But Corey and Kendall, that's pretty easy to go ahead and decide on, I think, for probably everyone. And if you don't have those two, I don't know what you're doing, because I think those two have to be automatics. But, yeah, Terrence certainly has a worthy argument. And, you know, Denzel, he certainly carved out a nice career for himself when it was all said and done. And there were a lot of other guys who were really great in their own right. But, I'm gonna reserve on talking about that third wide receiver spot, but can't really argue with that at all.
Yeah, he's second all-time in receptions, receiving yards, and then, of course, he had the best single season ever for a Baylor receiver. So I went with him there, but I will say KD Cannon also kind of clipped on my radar, too. I'm not sure if he's going to – I don't think he's going to make any ones, but, man, that guy, I know it ended on a sour note, and I know, you know, a lot of people, his attitude at times, people kind of were like, what's up with that? But I'll tell you – as far as just what that guy could do on a football field and the numbers he produced, I mean, he's third all-time in receptions, and he's third all-time in yards. He's got more yards than Corey Coleman. I mean, that guy is a beast, and you wouldn't even think that, but he was phenomenal. In that 2016 season where it was kind of a makeshift offense and a bad year, that guy rose to the occasion. So he was on my radar as well.
Yeah, I'll never forget his coming out party. Who was that against early on?
Which one?
He had like three touchdowns. It was like the second game of the year or whatever.
Northwestern State with Seth Russell because Bryce got hurt.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. But, yeah, he just burst onto the scene. And then, obviously, his last Baylor game was really good as well. The bowl game, I remember, you know, Matt Rhule, freshly hired, being up in the announcer's booth and talking about hoping he had a chance to coach him. And, of course, KD made the decision to leave early, which was a bad decision. And he has never quite lived out his NFL dreams. But he was really stinking good, man. And you almost do kind of forget about him just because Baylor's had such a great run of receivers, with Denzel being the latest. And – you know, the fact that it did kind of, I guess it didn't end on a sour note because he had a really good bowl game, but it did end sour in the way that he just kind of exited the program and the way that everything had kind of gone prior to that bowl game. So, yeah, he sort of kind of gets lost in thought or in the shuffle of thinking of the receiver sometimes, which is kind of strange because he was so good. But, yeah, I could definitely see some people making an argument for him potentially. But there's a lot of guys who have an argument just to be number three, because I think, you know, as we've said a couple of times now, I think Corey and Kendall are automatics, and quite frankly, Terrence might almost be as automatic as he gets as well. But we'll hear everybody's thoughts on that in the comments section or on the website as everybody kind of unveils theirs. But continue on. So far, so good.
Yeah, so tight end, I'm just going to kind of roll through tight end and somewhat offensive line. I think tight end, just Jordan Nyver, just because of the stats alone. He was also very good. He was very solid for, you know, those Art Briles teams. But
so tell me, What? Why do you hate Laquan McGowan?
Oh, man. He was second on the list. That's how bad the list was. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, so I went with Niver. I would think that one's pretty much consensus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to say, I'm not even going to comment too much because I think you said it. I don't think there's really too much of a competition there, quite frankly.
Right. So then at the two tackle spots, Spencer Drango and, Danny Watkins, those two were pretty easy for me. I got Cyril Richardson at guard. I got Kyle Fuller at center. Because I just think he was on two Big 12 championship teams and he was really a driving force behind, some of those great offensive lines. He was phenomenal in his time at Baylor and started all 4 years. And then I got Robert T. Griffin at the other guard spot. So that's kind of my offensive line. I know, I think Ivory Wade was a name that I was definitely looking at instead of Robert T. Griffin, but I went with the other Robert Griffin instead.
Yeah, the RG03.
Yeah.
That's on Kyle Fuller. Interesting that you said that because he's also, I think at least once, and he might even have been twice All Big 12.
He was, I believe.
I was looking back at some of the honors that guys had gotten. So I'll say that, as we kind of go along, there's been a lot of worthy guys, but there's been just certain guys that have played at such a level that it's actually not that difficult of a task, really. It kind of boils down to just a couple of spots here and there, Like quarterback, I know people will have different answers. Like some people will say Seth Russell or they'll say Bryce Petty, although it's kind of maybe that's not the best example. Running back, I can definitely see some different answers. That third wide receiver spot, I could potentially see some different answers. I think there'll be one or two spots maybe on the offensive line that are switched around, just in general with everybody who comments on this. But for the most part, I'd say like 95% of it's actually, pretty quick to kind of come up with. Now, what about on the defensive side?
Yeah, the defensive side, I think, is where we're going to have much different varying opinions and a bunch of people moving guys around potentially. But my four up front, I went with James Lynch, Baylor's all-time, leading sack guy. Sean Oakman, he's second on Baylor's, all-time list for sacks. And I know he didn't have a great final year at Baylor, but the year before that, that guy was absolutely dominant with 11 sacks. So those two are on my ends. And on the interior, I went with Andrew Billings at defensive tackle. And I actually put a defensive tackle and a nose tackle because I felt like there was a guy that deserves to be on this list at nose tackle. And he just led one of Baylor's best defenses, probably the best defense of the decade. And so Bravion Roy makes my list at nose tackle. I know a lot of his career, people were waiting for him to take that step up. I don't feel like he was on the best of teams and he had to kind of persevere. And then when he got on a team that really fit his skill set, man, did he shine. So those are my four up front.
Yeah, I had a harder time with the defensive end spots because I don't know. I just did. I felt like there were some arguments to be made. And yet at the defensive end spots, not as many named guys. Like Sean Oakman's a named guy. James Lynch. But if you want to count him as a defensive end, like I could see where some people want to slide him inside and then maybe pair him up with Andrew Billings or pair him up with Bravion Roy like we saw at times this last year. And there's been some good defensive ends, KJ Smith and others, although he's a tale of what could have been as well. But, I think there's going to be probably minor tweaks, minor maybe flips on the defensive line, but that's pretty solid.
Yeah, I think that's that was the guys that came to mind. That one wasn't really too difficult to me. Those four seemed to stick out for whatever reason to me. Linebacker, this one was pretty easy for me too, at least for two of the spots. Bryce Hager, Eddie Lackey, those two to me were no-brainers in my mind. When I watched that, those 2013 team, those two shined. They were phenomenal. They were all over the place, so I went with those two, and I also went with a nickel, and this is one that I don't think many people will have on their list. But for whatever reason, I just remember watching this guy play and thinking, man, he had such an impact on games, even though he wasn't on, I guess, the best Baylor teams. Every year he was on 2013, but he was also on, you know, 2012 and wasn't that, which wasn't great. But Sam Hall, I'm going Sam Hall as my nickel. He had 7 interceptions over the course of 3 years, racked up 266 tackles from that nickelback position. And yeah, forced, I think, 3 or 4 fumbles, 6 pass breakups. So I went with him, and he may not be conventional thinking, but I think if he would have been on, you know, the team this year, he would have played a huge role. I think he's a stud.
No, he very much was. I won't, like I said, reveal my full bracket. I will say a name I did not hear you say, because I, first of all, even if I bring up a name, doesn't mean they're on my team. I'm just saying this for the sake of just conversation, and I haven't settled on a couple of spots, but a name linebacker-wise, Taylor Young, how much consideration did you give to him?
A lot. A lot. I gave a ton of consideration to him. He was kind of in the there were a couple names that came up for that linebacker nickel type spot that I could have put someone at. He was one. Honestly, like, if you just want to point out a year, like 2015, Trayvon Blanchard, he was a guy that I definitely considered for that spot. And then, you know, it was hard to leave a guy like Clay Johnston off the list, but those are the guys that I went with.
Yeah, no, that's why these lists are fun to do, because there's, you know, arguments to be made for this guy or that guy, and it's fun to debate on things like that. So it's good that, you know, in those spots they've had multiple guys, you can at least make an argument. It's not just, boom, these three, and there's no competition. No, there's like guy 4, guy 5 that could, you know, potentially in someone's eyes be better. And certainly I can see that nickel spot being as good as Sam Hall. I could see somebody going Trayvon Blanchard and having a great argument for that, or, you know, whatever. So,
right.
What are we on to? Special teams now?
No, I got the DBs really quick.
Yeah, sorry.
So for me, at safety, you know, it was hard to not go with the guys from this year because of how successful the defense was. But I just couldn't overlook the numbers, the sheer amount of tackles, the sheer amount of interceptions and big plays on, you know, championship winning caliber teams. So I went with Ahmad Dixon and Orion Stewart at my safety spot. I went with Xavien Howard at one of the cornerback spots, which I feel like will be pretty unanimous. And then I went with the other cornerback spot, I think is going to be up in the air for a lot of people. But I went with Dimitri Goodson there. I felt like he was criminally underrated in his time at Baylor. And he kind of had the same thing as Xavien Howard, where the other team wouldn't throw at him. They'd throw at the other guy every single time. And so, yeah, those were the 4 I went with back there.
It's a pretty good list. I know that old Baylor defensive coordinator Phil Bennett, apparently, he would have gone Ryan Reed, I think, at one of his corner spots, is what, because I think Smokey was kind of picking his brain, because he came down to, like, having to make a tough call, you know, and wanting to, and Smokey does his research. Like, he doesn't just do, you know, the, hey, what list was this guy on, what accomplishments, let's go back and do that. Like, he, like, talks to people and tries to pick their brain. So I think he had a conversation with Ben recently, was asking about some of these, and I think one of the comments that I took away from just him kind of recapping it was the Bennett thought Ryan Reed was really underrated and kind of unfairly picked on. And part of it was because who was on the other side of him and just the fact that he was thrown at a lot. But, I mean, Grayson, I think you'll remember like I do, he probably was taken for granted a little bit because he wasn't a bad corner, but we only remember him getting burned, you know, what felt like once a game or something like that. In reality, it wasn't, but yeah, there. I think there's some guys like that that maybe people's just expectations were too high, or I don't know. But I think that'll make for some interesting conversation, just guys like that and trying to figure out that other corner spot across from X.
Yeah, it's just hard because Ryan Reed was opposite Xavien Howard, and then I believe, what was it, KJ Morton was opposite Dimitri Goodson, I think.
I
believe that's right. And those two guys were the guys that got picked on, you know, that they threw at every single time, because the other two guys, they were like, we're not going to throw at those guys. We'll take our shots on the other side. So I went with them, but safety, I will tell you, Graylin Arnold after this season was in consideration. It just, my issue with him, it was 1 year at safety, so I just couldn't do that over guys that played so many years at Baylor, unfortunately, and maybe unfairly to Graylin, but yeah, that's why I went with Ahmad and Orion.
Well, Graylin is preparing for the draft right now, like so many are, and I'm quite curious as to what his draft stock position is going to look like. As I am with all these guys, I was reading, somebody came out with their mock draft, and I'm not talking about like Todd McShay. It was much, much more in depth than that. It might have been what Dane Brugler has, like this massive mock draft that he puts together, and he ranks all the different positions and everything like that. And I did not see where he put Graylin Arnold, but I will try and find that before we hang up. But I did see where he had Jamichael Hasty as either a seventh rounder or an undrafted free agent, for example. So now I'm kind of curious to go and look, and I should have already looked, but where he had Graylin Arnold, because I think he's a guy, too, that's also looking at the potential of either being drafted in a later round or perhaps being a highly coveted undrafted free agent. Height is not his friend in this case, but everything else pretty much is. The ball hawking skills, speed, all that kind of stuff. So, he's a curious one. I'm very intrigued by really everybody outside of Denzel and James Lynch, because I know Denzel's going to get drafted relatively high. I know James Lynch is going to get drafted somewhere in the middle, but I have no idea really on the rest of these Baylor guys that are eligible to be drafted this year. But Graylin had a great year, and just a shame he's not going to be back next year, even though he could be. But I sort of understand it as well. You got a family to take care of, and you're probably tired of, you know, meeting new coaches at this point with what all you've been through and the injuries. So, just like with James Lynch, you can make an argument for why he should have stayed looking at his draft stock now, but you can also make the argument for why, I mean, he couldn't really have had a much better of a year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Chris Miller is in that same boat as for that list. I think he could be a sneaky one that gets drafted. And if not, he'll be very highly coveted as a undrafted free agent. So special teams wise, punter was really easy for me. I went with Drew Galitz there. I know Spencer Roth was another name that came to mind, but Drew was phenomenal when he was healthy. Punt return and kick return were very easy for me. Levi Norwood is the punt return guy. I don't think there's any question about that. Kick return, Corey Coleman. He didn't get to do it a ton, but when he did it, he was the most effective at it that Baylor's had this decade. And then Jimmy Landis at snapper was also pretty easy for me. The one that was not easy was kicker. And here's the reason why it was not easy, because Baylor's all-time leading scorer is Aaron Jones, but Aaron Jones is also not an efficient kicker at all. And of the guys that I was kind of looking at, he has a 62.8% field goal percentage rate, which is by far the worst of the three guys that I was looking at. But his sheer number of attempts, some of the big kicks he made, he was better from long distance than the other guys on the list. So I went with Aaron Jones, but it was, I mean, I wouldn't be too mad if someone said, you know, Connor Martin because of the one really good year he had, or, you know, I guess Chris Callahan, but I think Aaron Jones, just because he was kicking the long kicks, it wasn't just like he was kicking a bunch of short ones and they were going for it every time because they didn't have a kicker that could kick it deep. So Aaron Jones, but not great. Not great there for Baylor.
You know, they've rifled through a few head coaches here over the last few years. I mean, they're on coach number four since 2016, which is that's insane, dude. That really is. Like, and I know that it wasn't just as simple as like your typical guy gets hired, guy gets fired. But still, though, they're on their fourth head coach in like the last 6 years, or six, 7 years. But, you know, all that time, no matter who it's been, Briles, Grobe, Rule, and now Aranda. Now, Aranda, we have to wait to see first. But for those previous three, and Grobe, obviously, kind of a unique situation. that was one area that just never really got all that consistent. You know, that's just never been all that consistent in general, no matter who you're talking about. And I did not get to see as much of Stork because that was like right before I got here or right when I got here. So I was still kind of learning a little bit. But I've learned over the last few years that, you know, Baylor kickers can make a big kick on occasion, but they can also just miss some kicks and make you go, WTF, dude. Like, what in the world, right? So, yeah, that's one that's kind of hard, not because there's so many good candidates, but because there's so many, like, pretty good candidates, but that they also had frustrating moments, every single one of them.
Yeah, and I literally went with Aaron Jones because of the sheer number. I mean, he's made 59 field goals in his career, yeah, which is 14 more than anyone else in Baylor history. And then, of course, he also has the points record. So I went with him there. And the thing is, Connor Martin, we thought in 2017, everyone was sitting there going, wow, what a bright spot. 20 of 24 from field goals, 30 of 31 on extra points. This guy, they finally have kicker figured out. And then the next year, his field goal percentage was 62.5% as he was 15 of 24 and he missed four extra points out of 44. So he just kind of took a huge drop off. John Mayer's last year was great, but I can't give it to him off of one season. So, yeah, I just went with the volume, man. I feel like that's almost what I had to do with that last pick.
Yeah, I think that's one of those that I'm still going around in my mind a little bit on. I mean, my team's about 97% done. There's basically like three positions I need to fill, which I will here in the next day or two. I just need to settle on somebody. But yeah, I mean, you make a good argument for Stork, and you know, there's other arguments to be made, but it's not because somebody's just stood out so far. Although, like you said, you know, there's been a couple times where you kind of feel like, oh, this dude's going to be money.
Yeah.
And that's just the nature of kickers, I guess, that, you know, outside of some guys you see at other programs on occasion, like Grammatica. I mean, I'm going way back showing my age there, but you know, it's just kickers, man. It's all you can really say, right? Kickers. You just can't call it sometimes with those guys. So I think that will be one that certainly we have some fun discussions about when we unveil all of our teams next week on Sikkim 365 Radio. So that's a fun list, Grayson. You have fun putting that together.
Definitely. I had a great time. And I know, you know, probably next week we can talk a little bit about basketball because who knows, maybe we'll roll them all out for every single sport. Yeah. But that one was a lot of fun for football. It was a nice trip down memory lane, and it was pretty tough. I'm not going to lie. There were a couple in there that I had to go look up stats. I was trying to figure out analytics. I went back and watched some highlights, some old highlights of guys. I took it seriously. So it was fun.
Cool deal, man. Well, again, we'll have more of that next week on Sikkim 365 Radio. With Smokey, Paul Catalina, and myself, and I'm sure we'll perhaps get some others involved along the way as well. So there's Grayson's all-decade football team. Meanwhile, for the current football team, not a lot going on. We did have Dave Aranda on Sikkim 365 Radio this week, as well as offensive line coach Joe Wickline. They're maintaining positive thoughts. They're keeping in contact with their players as best they can. They're handling meetings through Zoom as best they can, and still recruiting, Grayson. And kind of out of nowhere, really last week, just a few days ago, a big commitment for the class of 2021 popped, even though none of these young men can visit campuses right now. And right about now, especially right now, a lot of these players would be taking official visits to various campuses, some of them knocking out maybe all five during this time period and then heading into the summer. Some, you know, deciding to take two or three during this time period and over the summer and then, you know, take their final two or three in the fall. But for Baylor, despite all that, they grew their 2021 class and got a pretty big commitment as Lindale running back. Lindale used to date a girl from Lindale and used to pass by there all the time being from Tyler, so know it pretty well. But Lindale running back Jordan Jenkins gives his pledge to Dave Aranda and staff. And your thoughts on the latest pledge for 2021?
Yeah, and this was a lot of fun kind of covering his commitment because, you know, I talked to Jordan the day he committed. I talked to his coach, Coach Chris Cochran, out at Lindale. So I got kind of a bunch of different angles of this. Obviously posted the Q&A with Coach Cochran on the website, which was just phenomenal. Great coach, great guy, and he had nothing but positives to say about Jordan Jenkins. And you know, when you hear those positives from a coach, just kind of about the person that he is, the leader that he is, that obviously gives you some kind of reassuring things as far as, you know, off the field type stuff, that he's going to be a guy that comes in and brings, you know, a tremendous, you know, personality to the Baylor program, which is great to see. And then you look up and you're like, oh, and he's also about, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 210 pounds, and he's a four-star prospect and is running people over all over his highlight film. That's pretty great to see as well. And he's got a nice offer list, you know, Tennessee, USC, Texas Tech, Arkansas, Kansas. You know, he's got some good offers. But yeah, he was a guy that, you know, he had Baylor very high on his list, but he was planning on just making his decision in July. The last time that we talked before he committed, he was like, yeah, I'll probably wait till July. That was probably maybe 3 weeks ago he told me that. And so, you know, he visited for Junior Day, had a great time there. The entire staff has been in contact with him since basically the moment that Coach Aranda was hired. That was huge to him. That stood out. And of course, Coach Joey McGuire, that's the guy that really, I think, sealed the deal for Jordan Jenkins, as a guy that just continued to talk to him, continued to prioritize him, and continued to build a relationship with him. So once again, Joey McGuire paying major dividends to this Baylor program. And, you know, getting a guy like this in your class really jumps up your recruiting rankings and definitely gets you on the radar, you know, nationally and from a media perspective. And they're getting a really, really, you know, special athlete, a guy that's got a 4.68 40 time. You know, he's a 4.45 40 hand time. And that was probably, you know, the 4.68 was from, you know, March of last year, so a year ago. So he's probably gotten faster. He's gotten bigger. Got 32-inch vertical, and just a massive human being that's only going to get bigger and is going to really wear down defenses, which is what he's done at Lindale.
Yeah, you have that Q&A that people can check out over on Sikkim365.com. Also, we had Jordan on Sikkim365 Radio a couple of days ago. And based on that conversation, Grayson, even though we all hate coronavirus right now, kind of had to give a little bit of an assist to COVID-19 as well for this, because he mentioned to us that, you know, he was, like you said, he was going to wait till probably July. He was going to take some visits and do all of that. But because of the situation going on right now, there are no visits to take. There are no campuses to visit. There are none of those things. And there might not be for, you know, the foreseeable future, but he's got to get into, you know, his senior year. He's got to start focusing in on next year, hopefully having a senior football season. But he did acknowledge that, hey, you know, I was going to wait, maybe check out some other places, but with what's going on, you know, I had to think about it, and Baylor's, you know, my choice. So in a roundabout way, kind of an alley or an assist, if you will, from our current situation.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I just thought it was really cool how, you know, Coach Cochran basically brought up the fact that he talked to Jordan, I guess it was, you know, the day before he committed or 2 days before he committed. And they were just kind of talking, and he asked him, if you were to commit right now, what school would that be? And he said Baylor. And his grandma, who's also a huge part of his life, also said Baylor. So they both were like, you know, that's where I want to be right now. And so Jordan told him, I'm going to call you in 24 hours if I feel like, you know, it's time. And that's what he did. So he went with his, you know, kind of gut decision, went with Baylor. And yeah, they're getting a great fit, and a guy that I think, you know, he's for sure going to come in at running back, and he's for sure a guy that Baylor is prioritizing as their only running back in this class, unless something crazy happens, like a five-star wants to, you know, join the class, then I think they would consider that. But Jordan is just a guy that has great versatility. He could play defense because he's got great size, but he's definitely brought in as a back that they're looking forward to, you know, grooming into just a workhorse running back, which is some of the guys that they have on the roster right now. I mean, you look at guys like Tay McWilliams, Quaylen Jones, and now Jordan Jenkins. I mean, those are some big dudes. All of those guys are going to be, you know, at least 215, 220 pounds, you know, getting the ball. And in Quaylen's case, you know, probably 230 pounds. But they got some big old backs that they're just going to wear teams down. And he's had a phenomenal 2 years. And I think this next year is going to be even bigger for him as they try to get him like 30 to 35 touches every game.
Good deal, man. Yeah, he sounds like a stud, and definitely looking forward to hopefully getting to catch some senior film of him, and look forward to seeing who else joins him in this class. But that's a really, you know, they were already off to a pretty nice start, but this definitely makes you go, okay, like, yeah, to get your juices pumping a little bit. Most definitely looking at his offer list and just his skill set. So Jordan Jenkins joins the 2021 class for Baylor football. And you know what? It's been pretty fun to watch Dave Aranda and company do their thing on the recruiting trail. You know, part of this class got started with Matt Rhule and company, but now sitting at five for 2021, their second commit on offense as Jordan Jenkins joins wide receiver Javon Gibson. And then you got Cisco Caston, Romario Noel, and Tyrone Brown on the defensive side. So shaping up pretty nicely, in your opinion, so far, Grayson, these first five?
Yeah, great start to the class. I don't think you can really hope for anything better, but I will tell you, you know, you mentioned the coronavirus. That's definitely something that a lot of these recruits are taking into account. You know, I talked to a couple of them today, and it's just one of those things, man. If this doesn't get figured out, you know, by the summer, a lot of these kids are going to have to make decisions either sight unseen, or they're going to go with schools that they visited. And so, you know, Baylor is thanking their lucky stars that they had that junior day before the coronavirus hit, because a lot of programs didn't do that, and now they are playing a complete catch-up game.
Well, and I thought about this. I wondered how much this is going to affect guys maybe staying closer to home because of just the world now and the way that it is. You know what I mean? Because can you imagine being a young man from like Washington going to Florida State, for example, just trying to get as far away as possible, and this outbreak occurs and you're trying to get back home, but you got to go all the way across the country? I don't know. That kind of a thought kind of popped into my head. And fortunately for Baylor, they're in the most fertile of recruiting grounds, and they also have Louisiana right next door and all of that. But do you foresee, you know, something along those lines having an effect in that way as far as recruiting in this particular cycle?
I think I could see it in that way. And kind of another way of looking at it is a lot of kids that took their visits early visited in state schools. You know what I mean? Because yeah, they're easier to get to. So I would also say that that's kind of another function of what you're talking about. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Parents probably are not going to really want to approve of their kid going, you know, really far away from home at this very moment. And so Baylor has a nice edge being that they're so close to Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin. Yeah, I mean, that could play a big role as we kind of get closer to signing day.
Yeah, just a thought I had, because there's already those stories you hear about of guys having the pull to either go far away or stay very close to home. And I would just think now, nationwide, that you might see a cycle where even more kids than normal stick a little bit closer, or at least within, you know, suitable driving distance to home. So we'll see if it plays out that way. You know, if everything somehow or another, we're all kind of just, you know, wishing right now, but if it gets back to some sense of normalcy, maybe we see the typical type of recruiting cycle. But I would have to imagine, just because of spring being wiped out, this is going to be a much different cycle than normal. Now, Grayson, before we get to the mailbag, do you have any other notes you want to pass along that we have not touched on yet?
Yeah, so four-star safety out of Kennedale High School is JD Coffey, and he released his top six, I believe it was yesterday or 2 days ago, one or the other. I kind of get him confused occasionally, but Baylor made his top six, and that's a big deal. And the reason I say that's a big deal is, once again, he visited Baylor for a junior day. I believe he also visited Washington and Oregon the weekend before everything kind of hit. So I think he took visits there. I think he might have taken one more visit in there. And then the other schools on his list, he did not visit. But he has a good list, and Baylor made the list. And so that's really big. That's going to play. You know, he's one of those guys that, again, right when Aranda got to Baylor, he was a huge priority for them. And I just think that you just continue to see it. It was Oregon, Washington, Michigan, LSU, Texas, and Baylor are his top six. This is a big-time recruit. So I wanted to throw his name out there. And then I also wanted to throw out the fact that Baylor made another top list for Ishmael Ibrahim out of Dallas Kimball High School, and they made his, I believe, top 10 this week as well. The other schools on his list, I think, are like Alabama, Auburn, Michigan, Georgia, Texas, TCU, and A&M. So that's another big deal, another one of the top recruits in the entire state of Texas. So that's two of them that Baylor made another top list for. So big news there with those two guys. Ibrahim's a cornerback. JD is a safety. So two really big notes there. And then also wanted to mention two transfers kind of popped up on the radar slightly. Mississippi State's going through a little bit of issues right now because Mike Leach posted a tweet that did not go over well with a lot of the players on his team, it seems. And so redshirt freshman Brevin Jones, an offensive lineman, is transferring out. And former, you know, high three-star, almost four-star sophomore defensive tackle Fabian Lovett is also transferring out. I think Baylor is going to take a look at each of those guys as possible candidates to bring in as Baylor tries to kind of shape up their roster with the remaining spots that they have. But yeah, possibly could be Baylor taking advantage of a terrible mistake by Mike Leach.
Golly, man, when I saw that, you know, when the changes happened at the old place we were, I kind of took a couple days break from, you know, really, I guess, get too involved in knowing what was going on in the sports world. Just needed a mental reset. And I don't like the whole, I think, like, for everybody, this quarantine thing, even if some of you are able to, like, go out for at least work or whatever, the whole month of, like, March, at least for me, is just kind of run together. It's like one long day, basically. So I forget when exactly I first heard about the Leach thing. But, man, once I did, I could not believe it. And yet I totally believed it because that's exactly what people were afraid of when Mike Leach got a job at Mississippi State. Was just like the cultural fit. Is he going to, you know, get along the way he was able to at other places before eventually wearing out his welcome? And, man, he hadn't even coached a practice yet, and he's already saying something to have dudes transferring. Like, it's just – it's what you paid for. You know, basically that's what you paid for. That risk factor comes in when you hire Mike Leach, and he certainly put his foot right in his mouth. And, you know, even if those guys weren't even all that offended and just took it as, like, a screw-up, it doesn't matter. He gave everybody on that team a reason to transfer without any sort of strings attached.
Yeah, and the thing that I think, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, stay away from these guys that are transferring because, you know, if they're going to get offended so easily and whatnot. But I'll tell you this, and this is a big deal. You know, you mentioned Mike Leach. This is his first year on the job. You know, those two guys were recruited by Joe Moorhead. So they have no allegiance right now to Mike Leach, and they were just given basically a free pass to say, well, I'm going to transfer, and heck, I might be immediately eligible to play because the NCAA might give them a pass for that. We've seen them give out a pass for less. So I just think that I know a lot of people want to say, oh, they kind of gave up on the team or whatever and left Mississippi State, but no, not really, because they don't really owe Mike Leach anything. You know, the only person they owe really is Joe Moorhead, and he's not the guy that made, you know, a comment like Mike Leach did. So I don't blame these guys at all. I think that Mike Leach has to be smarter than that. He doesn't have you know, a relationship built in with his players yet where he can just kind of say whatever he wants. So, yeah, I mean, unfortunate for that program, but, you know, those players got to do what's best for them, in my opinion. They don't know Mike Leach anything.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Do you have anything else before we get into the mailbag?
Nothing really. Just, again, keep an eye on, you know, if you're a premium member, keep an eye on notes. I've been cranking out notes. There's a lot of transfers that Baylor is keeping their eye on because they have a lot of spots right now. So if you're not following it, I suggest you do, because I'm just going to keep putting notes out as I, you know, hear contact has been made with different guys. And there's a list of about, you know, 15 guys right now that Baylor has either reached out to or looked at. Some are committed elsewhere. Baylor trying to get back in the mix. So, it's going to be a lot of fun as we kind of hit the stretch. And, you know, a lot of these guys are going to start committing in the next month because they're grad transfers in some cases.
Well, between the recruiting news and the launch of Sikkim 365 Radio and all the great guests we've had on this week, and I was just looking at the lineup for today, and I know Seth Russell, Spencer Drango are both going to be a part of the show, and there's going to be some others as well, but I think Clyde Hart is on the Thursday show as well, so that's not three bad Baylor guys right there. Clyde Hart, Spencer Drango, and Seth Russell. Had Bryce Petty, RG3, Dave Aranda, Joe Wickline earlier this week between radio, recruiting. I mean, I know there's no sports going on right now, Grayson, but that has not stopped content on Sikkim365.com, particularly for premium members. So definitely keep that in mind. If we're going this hard right now, you can only imagine what, you know, an actual season is going to look like. It's going to be pretty stinking cool. But let's get to the mailbag for this week. Just a couple of questions to get to, and we'll start off with Lake O'Bear. A couple of related questions. What is the current scholarship situation?
Yeah, so I think they have 79 scholarships filled if you add in Gunnar Royer, who committed this week, the long snapper. We didn't even talk about him, but he committed, and he's on scholarship for just 1 year. The transfer out of, was it Indiana University of Pennsylvania? Something like that.
IUPUI?
No. No, IUPUI is Indiana University, Purdue University. This one is literally like a D3 program, I think, or a D2 gotcha. Program. But yeah, he committed. So he's taken up a spot. He'll only be at Baylor for 1 year. So it's just a 1 year spot there as a deep snapper. And then I think the other one is Victor Obi, who we add to the list as well. Obviously, I don't think those guys have officially signed. I don't really know what that process is going to look like, but they've committed, and so I'm pretty sure they're going to end up being at Baylor. So that brings you to 79 scholarships. I think a walk-on or two may get a spot as well. So I'm just going to say I bet they'll take maybe 3 to 4 grad transfers and maybe 1 or 2 transfers. Somewhere in that range, I would say. So maybe 4 or 5 spots total.
So Lake O'Bear's second question was, how many of those available would be filled by grad transfers? And you just answered that, at least in your best guesstimation. And then also, who currently on the team would be likely to receive a scholarship if they do not fill them out with transfers?
Yeah, the main one I can think of is maybe a guy like John Mayers as a kicker. He's kind of the main one that immediately jumps to mind. I don't know that I have another guess. You know, there's always 1 or 2 that pop up on the radar, but he would be my guess, and he would have been my guess for a long time that he'll probably end up on scholarship.
Yeah, I would think he's headed that direction. Pittsburgh Bear, let's reinvigorate this podcast. Oh gosh, here we go again. Ever think about just changing to a perennial name, something like Sikkim Podcast? Doesn't need to be catchy or related to a coach or a one-liner, perhaps something that's obvious to the Baylor masses and will stand the test of time. Ideas: Sikkim Show Podcast, 365 Sikkim Podcast, 365 Bearcast, Bears Weekly. I've given no thought to that. Been a little busy, and honestly, I know that the podcast name change is like a thing that somebody, at least one person, wants to know about each week. But y'all have thought about it way more than I have. I can't speak for Grayson. I know we keep saying we're going to get to it, but I haven't thought about it, Grayson. Like, it does not cross my mind until we actually start recording. Oh yeah, like, we should probably get around to that. But outside of that, I really have not given it too much thought. Not for any other reason than just it doesn't come to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not something to go, huh, what should we do? But yeah, I mean, the idea, I'm not opposed to any direction with the idea. I know it doesn't need to be catchy, but it was fun to have that. So yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Grayson, on the podcast?
Yeah, Craig, you could have spoke for me because I haven't given any thought to this. Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me right now? Like, we're too busy with some other stuff going on right now to change it. I think, you know, I love the, it's really unfortunate because I really love the name that we changed to. It's so easy, so efficient. And I do kind of want to find something that kind of ties toward Aranda. I mean, I do. I want to hear him say something and where you and I both look at each other and we're like, wait a minute, that could be a great name. I just kind of think that that would be a lot of fun. And so I don't want to change it too soon. And then he says something and then we're both like, wow, are we really going to have to change this again?
Yeah. Yeah. And I get that's where Pittsburgh Bear is coming from with, you know, just having a general name. I mean, we could very easily just go the Sikkim Cast. I mean, that's simple, boom, done, or something along those lines. Some of the names that you mentioned, but Pitt, we'll get to that. I know I say that every week, but that just goes to show you where it is on the priorities list. It's not something that we are really all that concerned with at this point. At some point or another, it'll be like some Aranda related thing that he says, or maybe he just doesn't ever pop off with anything like that, and it becomes something just a bit more general. But yeah, we've just had too much going on to worry too much about it, and I say it every week. I'll have to say it next week, I'm sure. At some point, we will get to it, but just it's on the back burner for right now. Let's see here. Bearhawk Down, what was the final score on Grayson and Ashton's basketball pick'em?
Yeah, so our pick'em obviously got cut short, so Ashley got extremely lucky that it did because I was about to run through the Big 12 tournament. And I was about to run through March Madness. This was about to not be even close. But unfortunately, he gets me by 3 games. We did a heck of a job this year, I'm not going to lie. He went 88-49. I went 85-52 on our picks, which is pretty good. Also seeing that we, you know, had to pick an upset pick every single week as well. So yeah, I mean, pretty efficient. Pretty good numbers there. He gets the slight edge, but like I said, I was feeling really, really good hanging into the Big 12 tourney with where I was at. Because, you know, March Madness, bracket pick 'em, that's my thing. So, yeah, if Ashley's listening, you got lucky, man. You got really lucky.
Also from Bearhawk Down, what happened to the Vegas bets on March Madness?
Oh, no idea.
I guess just people got their money back.
Right.
I would assume. I mean, there's really, I don't think, any other way to handle that. I'll Google refunds March Madness, but I would just assume I think everybody just got refunds. So that's all there is to it. And that's part of the NCAA losing out on the millions of dollars that they're losing out on. That's put them in quite a pinch and put them in a situation where they're having to take out a loan, as AD Mac Rhodes mentioned on Sikkim 365 radio earlier this week. They the NCAA itself, not Baylor, but the NCAA itself, having to take out a loan to help cover some of those costs because it's such a huge part of their payroll. And I took one comment from him. I thought one comment from him was very interesting. He was saying, now you might say in these times now looking at it that having, you know, whatever it is, like 60%, 75% of your budget tied to one thing, one event, is probably pretty stupid, or you know, that's basically what he was saying. But that's what our situation was. And so I say that to say that, Grayson, it's obvious that this is going to change many things. It's definitely, I think, going to change the NCAA and kind of how they operate, because they're seeing it up close and personal, just what a blow not having March Madness is. And I just don't see where they can have a business model moving forward. And I'm not a business guy. Others will be like, that's stupid, you don't know what you're talking about. But I just don't think you can afford to risk to where you have so much money tied into one thing. When you never had the idea ever pop into your head that anything could ever happen to this tournament, that's fine. But now that you know something can happen to this tournament and you see the effects of it, This is going to change the way that everyone operates, but in particular, college athletics.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more. It's going to be a lot of change, man. A lot of change, but it has to be because people have to adapt to, you know, these kind of possibilities and realities. So, unfortunate, but yeah, I kind of agree with you there.
So thank you, Bearhawk Down, for those questions. And Crash Davis, what is your favorite part of all the sports being canceled? Mine's not having to hear Craig spend 90% of the baseball discussion talking about a midweek loss instead of focusing on an epic weekend in Houston going 3-0 against SEC teams and beating two top 10 teams. Only kind of kidding. In all seriousness, congrats on the new gig. So happy you are going to continue to cover Baylor athletics. I, too, like to get caught up on podcasts from – a month ago and dwell on those far past their expiration date. But my favorite part of sports being canceled, don't really have a favorite part. Don't have an answer for you there. Grayson, what about you?
Yeah, I actually do have a favorite part right now. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the board at all or have seen, you know, this kind of thing that we have going on. It's a it's the Baylor football quarantine draft. I don't know if you've seen any messages on that or anything, but
I've seen some of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So right now that's kind of the big thing that we're on. We're filling out a full roster, even with a head coach, a kicker and a punter, 11 offense, 11 defense. And so we kind of just started that. We've hit a little stalls in there, but I'm pretty happy with my team right now. I got the number one overall pick, so I was able to get RG3, and then I got on the back end at pick 16 and 17, I got Spencer Drango and Danny Watkins at my two tackle spots. But it's every single Baylor player is allowed to be picked. So yeah, that's kind of been a lot of fun right now during, you know, this quarantine as this just started up. So that's been kind of one of the more fun things and that I've been kind of able to do with sports being canceled, but it's a lot of little things like that. Honestly, I mean, you know, I've been able to really focus on all the recruiting stuff and obviously just in my personal life, been able to try to focus on the whole wedding, you know, situation and figuring out if that's gonna, even be able to happen or not. So, that's been really stressful, but it's been really good that I haven't, you know, been focusing on sports because I've been able to kind of focus on that as part of, you know, real life type stuff. So, that's been good for me.
You know, I guess not having to be forced to watch sports in a way has also been kind of nice, just because of what I was doing. You know, you kind of had to keep tabs on everything, and it's kind of nice to not have to, like, well, I better watch this Rockets-Clippers game, not because I really want to, but because I need to talk about it tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I know that's such a silly thing for some people who work like by far more grueling and all that jobs, not taking what I do or what I did for granted at all. But that was just something that I don't really miss that. You know, I don't miss the feeling of having to watch sports. I miss sports, but I don't miss that where it kind of felt like part of the job in a way. But you know, I do at the same time miss just having the ability to turn on the TV and there be a game of some sort on. Definitely took that for granted now that we're watching all of these classics over and over again, and that's what we'll have for the foreseeable future outside of, I guess, the UFC and pro wrestling and some others that are still kind of doing some events here and there. But it's kind of crazy to not flip on and just have like the Rangers on right now, for example, or the Astros or whatever. So it's interesting. That's for sure. I think that's about it, Grayson. Anything else on your end?
No, I think that's pretty much it. That was a good rundown right there. It was kind of fun to go down memory lane and actually talk about the all-decade teams and kind of, you know, the Kim Mulkey Hall of Fame thing. This was a lot of good stuff definitely this week.
Yeah, so we appreciate everybody for listening. As always, appreciate the questions as well. And that's going to about do it for us this week. Definitely stay tuned, locked into the website for all the recruiting information that Grayson is providing. And Jason King put out a really good article on Terry Black. For you basketball fans, we've obviously had the launch of the radio show this week as well. And I mentioned, you know, Mulkey and Aranda and Petty and RG3 have already all been a part of the show in the first 3 days. And we've got Drango and Seth Russell and Clyde Hart that will also be loaded up, I would imagine, and done with by the time most people listen to this. So it'll keep coming, these interviews and stuff, as we just add more and more to the website. And looking forward to seeing what the future holds, man. So, Grayson, appreciate it as always, man. I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, definitely. Good talking to you, and good luck on the show today.
Absolutely. Do appreciate it. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. You get your questions in. Grayson always has a thread that he'll put up a day or so, or a day of the recording. So if you see that and you got something that you want to ask or pass along, then certainly feel free to do so. But that'll do it for us this week. We do appreciate you and hope you stay safe, stay indoors, and take advantage of this time with your loved ones. This has been Trust the Podcast on Sikkim365.com.